We must understand and end the human rights disaster that is occurring in occupied Palestine, and one way we can do that is by listening to voices that we would never hear otherwise. To hear Palestinian voices that go unheard in the corporate and state media, tune into this radio station every week. This is Kristen S. reporting from occupied Palestine. For the second year in a row, the government disallowed Palestinian President Yasser Arafat from attending Christmas Eve Mass in the Palestinian city of Bethlehem's Nativity. The church placed a chair in the front row with a large picture of Arafat and a keffiyeh draped over its back. The Israeli military lifted its curfew of Bethlehem for 72 hours, giving notice only at the last minute to the city that has been under curfew for the past month. This was a media stunt, a continuation of the strong Israeli propaganda campaign that kept gun-wielding Israeli soldiers and tanks away from the television cameras that flocked to Manger Square. The Israeli military took over 5 buildings in Bethlehem, using them as sniper posts, including one radio station. Israeli military jeeps continued to patrol the streets, and the Palestinian Authority was not allowed to function inside of Bethlehem. Because of the continued Israeli reinvasion of Bethlehem, many residents felt that the church should have shut its doors in protest in order to show the world the reality of the situation. The rest of the West Bank remains under curfew. On Christmas night, the Israeli military took 10 Palestinians from their homes. The night before that, it was 7, and the night before that, they took 8. This adds to the already 8,000 Palestinian political prisoners that the Israeli government is holding in its jails. Amjad al-Azza remains in administrative detention against international law without charge. Yesterday, the Israeli military blasted into the center of Bethlehem, shooting into Manger Square, throwing tear gas, and announcing curfew. Some Bethlehem residents resisted the tanks by throwing stones. Now I'm back in Rafah, in the south of the Gaza Strip. The situation has gone from bad to worse. One night, the Israeli military destroyed 30 houses. They continue to shoot into the camps and destroy houses at will. They are building an 8-meter high and 10-meter deep so-called security wall, which is further imprisoning the Palestinian residents of the Gaza Strip. And now I'm with an international activist with the International Solidarity Movement who has been there here for the last few days while I was in Bethlehem and is going to talk with us a little bit about the situation. So what have you seen here?
The situation has been really amazing. I have never seen anything like the constant level of violence that these people experience. It's crushing. The wall is not just a wall, but they are taking 70 to 100 meters of people's land and homes and businesses to create a supposed security zone. So what this means is that any home or any business or any structure in their way is being demolished by tanks and bulldozers. About 4 days ago, 2 houses were demolished that had international people in those houses, part of our organization, the International Solidarity Movement. What the Israeli occupying force does is they approach the houses with approximately 8 to 10 tanks and a bulldozer. They fire shots into the homes, into the families' homes while they're there, and wait for a moment to see if anybody runs out. They fire a few more shots and then proceed to demolish the homes by further tank fire or by running the bulldozer into the actual home. This is incredibly crushing. It's so demoralizing. These people are not just losing their homes, but they're losing the center of how they define themselves, which is by the family. This is total destruction of their lives, and you can't believe it unless you see it. One family, one of their sons, refuses to leave his home, even though the only part of the home that is left standing is part of the kitchen, and he sleeps there every night because he refuses to leave. The members of the family and friends gather there at night around a small fire, trying to cope with the total loss, this devastation. We have had people join them from our organization, and they've said that these men gather around and they try to laugh, but you can still see this immense and total loss glistening in their eyes, and it is crushing. The other problem is that all of the agricultural land that falls into this quote-unquote security zone, it will also be confiscated and destroyed. I was actually standing in greater than 100 dunam of carnations just coming into bloom that are also threatened with demolition. On top of that, because of the construction of this wall, there's a total shutdown of the border. So even if they could harvest these carnations, they can't get them through the Egyptian border. So the wall is not simply another means of totally destroying these people's lives, but it's also economic strangulation. And it's amazing that these people continue to be able to live any part of a normal life, and they are incredibly strong in their attempts to do so. And the other thing that's so surprising with this constant occupation is, it's not surprising, it's crushing, it's amazing, is the constant gunfire. During the day, during the night, random shots down the streets, children going to school, walking to school, are running across the road, not because they're afraid of passing cars, but because they're afraid of bullets supposedly accidentally, hitting them. I met a young man who is about 15 years old who was playing soccer in front of his house, and he was shot in the back and is paralyzed from the waist down. How do you look at these people, and what do you tell them, in addition to the total emotional and physical strangulation that this wall is creating and the economic problems? How can these people deal with this type of medical disaster in their lives? The children in the schools are not sleeping at night. They're in the middle of exams. They can't focus because they're more concerned about their homes being demolished. They're being shot in the street, constant gunfire at night, tanks rumbling through. It's a little difficult to study. And so children in the schools are just unable to cope with this situation, and it's having incredible effects on them. It's just really, really a horrendous situation, and I can't believe that more people are not more aware of what's going on here in Rafah.
Thank you for talking with us. And if you want to get any more information about the International Solidarity Movement, you can look at www.palsolidarity.org. Not only in Rafah, but in much of the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank, for Palestinians, staying in your own home is an act of resistance. For CKUT, I'm Kristen S., reporting from occupied Palestine.